Hello and welcome to another edition of What Next, a guide to taking your freelance career to the next level. In this video, we're going to talk about the world of copywriting, which is arguably one of the most lucrative types of writing that you can do. And I'm joined today by Amy Harrison, who is an established and successful copywriter. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you, Tom. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Should we start with the basic stuff? If you could tell us a little bit about yourself and your history with writing.
Yes, no problem. So I'm a copywriter and a content marketer based in Brighton in the UK. So what that means is I'm helping businesses to attract more customers, to build their credibility, and it's all through publishing high quality, valuable content, usually online. A lot of the time I'm helping businesses with their strategy. So what that means is, we're looking at ways of who they want to reach, where their ideal target market is, and then we're looking at creating the content that will attract them to their business. Sometimes I do the writing, and I also offer, I do training. So I started out, I know we're going to go into this in a little bit, but I started out just kind of regular writing, and then as it evolved, did copywriting, and then as that evolved, I've started working a lot more with businesses on their actual strategy, because it's sort of a logical progression. If you're writing for businesses to attract more customers and sales, you can start spotting opportunities of different content that they can produce, and then suddenly you're sort of giving them ideas for a whole content strategy.
So let's go into that then. Can you tell us kind of that progression you took and what drove you down that road from the start?
Yeah, sure. So I've got a degree. I did a degree in screenwriting for film and TV. So I did that for 3 years and then had no idea what to do with it. And I left, went to work in Canada for a year, and I worked with a small online business just doing project management. Then came back and I started working for a small group of private investors, and they were buying and selling online businesses. So what we were working on is how to make those businesses attractive to investors. So we started looking at how different business models worked online, how we could increase sales, how the website experience, helped sales, and also looking at, the kind of content that was on these websites to make it attractive to investors. And that was fun, and I learned a lot, but I really wanted to grow my own business and match it with something which was more aligned with my passion, which has always been writing. So I decided to, I left around about the end of 2008 and decided that I would do some kind of writing, but I wasn't sure what. And talking about it with people that I knew, then we naturally came on to talking to some contacts about web content and article writing. So that was actually how I started. It was just writing articles, usually for SEO purposes, but also writing about the different services that they offered, so that if people were reading these, they'd feel that they were interesting and that they were relevant to them, that they would get in touch with the company. And it was when I was doing that that you realized, I realized that there's a huge overlap in skill sets from screenwriting to copywriting. Because if you're writing a script, if you're writing, for radio or for TV, you're competing with people's very, very short attention spans. You're competing with a lot of different competition, and the whole purpose is to try and get people to read the next line of the script. The whole purpose, and to stay engaged and to stay interested, want to find out what happens in the end. The whole purpose of copywriting is to get people to read the next line, to get them emotionally involved, encourage them to want to find out more and read more, and go to the next stage and to take action. So that was when I decided that those 3 years studying screenwriting wasn't actually a waste. But yeah, I just started off with article writing, and writing business reports actually for the mining industry, which was as dull as it sounds.
So that's quite interesting. So although you didn't have any formal qualifications in business writing, as it were, you do feel that what you learnt as a screenwriter actually helped you in terms of transferable skills in copywriting.
Yeah, definitely. And also from, you know, 3 years working with online businesses to try and improve them, and you're looking at what content works, and you're looking at advertising and marketing materials. And that was kind of like a crash course for me, because in a space of 3 years, maybe every 6 months, you know, we were buying several businesses and trying to turn them around and sell them on. So you were learning about a lot of different industries. I was having to research about a lot of industries, and then being able to have to, you know, write web content, write marketing, you know, with the authority of someone who really knew that industry. And that is also applicable to copywriting, because a lot of copywriters will work for different industries. If they don't, sometimes they'll specify a particular niche, but some people will generally start off kind of taking anything that they want, and you will be working for a variety of industries. So that research, that ability to research and, you know, really get your teeth into something and look for the golden nugget that is going to give you a good persuasive argument, is that skill is invaluable.
I have to say it's a very interesting backstory. You talk to a lot of freelance writers about how they got started, but it sounds like you're in quite a dynamic environment, and it almost sounds like accidentally all these things came together to give you almost a great skill set for copywriting.
Yeah, and it's funny, because they do say that you can't connect the dots looking forward. I mean, when I first started working for myself, I had no idea how any of these skills would come together. It's only really on reflection that I can see, I look at the way that I work, and I can sort of see dotted in the history little bits and think, ah, yeah, that's where I picked up that from, and that has been useful. So, yeah, it's interesting.
You started out as what you might call a normal writer, in inverted commas, and then you progress to copywriting in terms of the actual physical writing of copy.
Mm.
And then from there, you branched out into a form of content marketing strategy, which is less mm-hmm. writing and more, like I say, strategy-based. Obviously, there's been a clear benefit to you in making that progression, otherwise you wouldn't have done it. So could you tell us a little bit about how that progression has benefited you from one to the next to the next?
Yeah, sure. I would love to say that I started out with that as a plan, but it didn't happen that way. It has been it's definitely evolved, and it's been incremental, and there's been lots of sort of false starts at certain things, and it's the interesting thing that I always find is that you find so many resources online, especially if you're starting as a writer, and they'll tell you to sit down, find your niche, find your target market, go. And to be honest, the way that my business has gone, it has evolved over time through a process of me just continually sort of checking in, like, where am I now? Is this where I want to be? So started off article writing. I thought that was brilliant. The idea that someone would pay me just to write, because that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to write, and I wanted someone to pay me for it. So that was perfect. And then as you go along and you think, okay, I get to write, I get to work from home, my hours are flexible, I'm paying the bills, but I'm not really that interested, you know, in writing another article about, I was doing it for the stag and hen industry, for bachelor parties and bachelorette parties, so writing a lot about quad biking, clay pigeon shooting, cocktail making, it stopped igniting anything in me. I just got bored of it. So I decided to kind of stop and start again. And throughout that first year, I'd been trying my hand at blogging, you know, trying to find my voice on my own blog. And I've built up relationships and connections with people online, found a community of other freelancers, other writers and business owners. So then I sort of stopped to reevaluate and thought, okay, so I still want to write, but who do I want to write for, and what type of things do I want to write? And I'd been doing a lot more reading and studying of copywriting, so that, you know, there was an overlap with the skills that I had with screenwriting, and just started basically looking for businesses which I would like to write for that I found interesting, and doing either content or ebooks or sales pages, and doing copywriting for them. And I did that for probably about, I'd say that was mostly a year and a half. And then naturally, as I'm writing more and as I'm working with them more, you're spotting opportunities where you can expand the campaign. And this is really important, because this is what helps you increase your earning potential. So very rarely will I ever write just one piece of content for a client. I wouldn't write just one sales page, because if someone comes to me and let's say they have a book or they want to launch a product and they want a sales page for that product, then there's a whole scope for the content there. There's okay, well, what are you doing how are you promoting this? You know, what kind of content are you using for your launch content? How are you following up with people? If people don't buy, are you putting them on a newsletter list? And if so, how can we, you know, could we maybe produce some content to kind of keep a conversation going, try them with an offer at a later date? And you see these things, and if you're the one to bring that conversation to your client, it increases your value, but it also increases, you know, you become more valuable to them, but it increases the value of that particular contract, because suddenly you've gone from just writing a sales page to writing an autoresponder and a free report and an ebook and all the other things that go with it.
I want to touch on something which you said a few minutes ago, which I think is a situation that a lot of freelance writers find themselves in. You said essentially that you were kind of stuck in a rut writing content that didn't particularly inspire you, and you took the very bold decision then to step back, reevaluate, and go off on a complete tangent. I was wondering if you could tell us more about how you did that, because I think a lot of people are paralyzed in that situation and feel like they're trapped, but you obviously got out of that trap.
Yeah, So for the first year, in addition to just, you know, writing, I'm also doing a heck of a lot of reading and researching. I'm reading up about blogging. And naturally, there were some people who sort of stood out to me that I thought I really like what they're doing. I really like the way that they run their businesses. It was the new year, and I decided that I wasn't going to do any more mining reports, and I wasn't going to do any more article writing. Made that decision just to not take on any more work with those clients, which was the bulk, pretty much all of the work that I was doing. So it was a big leap, because then I had nothing. And then I had to really, the pressure was on to find more work. And that's not for everyone, and I wouldn't recommend that, because sometimes you can, if you're in a situation where you don't know how you're next going to get paid, it can be too paralyzing for you to actually take action. But something that I did do was I would approach people that I wanted to work for, but I know this from talking to other business owners. It wasn't a cold call, and it wasn't a cold email. What I would do is I was looking at people who I liked their style, I liked their voice, I liked the things that they were producing, and I would approach them with ideas. So, for example, one client who I ended up working with for a good sort of year, 2 years, I noticed that she produced a lot of content via audio and also via video. But she didn't have any, there was no written products, and she didn't, other than transcripts. And so I got in touch with her to say that I felt, you know, perhaps some worksheets, some supporting materials, which I could write and I could do it in her voice so they would be ghostwritten. I thought that would increase the value of what she was offering to her audience, because if we could produce these worksheets, then people are more likely to take her lessons and her teaching onboard, get results, and then they're more likely to give great testimonials and to rave about what she's done. So what I was looking to do was rather than approach and say, look, I really want a job, I really want you to pay me to write for you, which I think is what a lot of people do. You know, they say, oh, I can do this and it'll be this much. Is to, much in the way of copywriting, you're always looking at what your audience wants. So I know that this lady, she had an audience of her own. She sold products, so it's important for her to sell products. And it's important for her to get exposure. And so I was looking at ways of how I could create content which would help her do that. And that was, and she loved the idea. And, you know, it was very different to just kind of cold calling someone saying, you know, do you need any content work or any article writing? And, yeah, we worked together for about a year or two on that idea.
So would you say that approach you had, that kind of softly approach, was really important to your kind of redevelopment as a writer?
Well, it was... It wasn't so much a softly because I had an offer from the very start, but I was very clear. And if you've been, you know, if you've been writing and if you've got skills as a writer, then this is pretty easy to do. But I was very clear on why I was approaching her, getting straight to the point, and why I thought basically using copywriting skills to sell myself and talking about, you know, the benefits of what I could offer, and then explaining, you know, if you wanted to go ahead, this is what I propose. Here's two options. This is the cost. And it was very easy. All the information was there. She didn't have to call me up. We didn't have to discuss anything further. I didn't meet her for a year. I didn't even speak to her for a year. But we were working together. And I think the clients that I was approaching and the clients that I wanted to work for who were either busy entrepreneurs, that works very well for them because they don't have the time to, you know, kind of go back and forth and chat to you. They want to make quick decisions, but they want to make informed decisions. So it was a way of giving her all the information about what the offer was, making it compelling, and then making it very easy for her to take action and engage with that. I was just going to say, I've done that. I've repeated that formula several times, and it works very well.
No, I can imagine. It's the classic example of communicating benefits as opposed to communicating services, isn't it?
Yes. And I think that's a mistake that it's understandable, but it is a mistake that a lot of kind of freelance writers do, and they sell themselves short. By, you know, giving a list of what they can do or their offers. If you can go that step further and say, look, I think I can help you achieve what you want to achieve via this, it's a lot more effective.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to note that essentially you decided what kind of client you wanted to work with and then you went out and got them.
Yeah. You know, and I was still, you know, I over time, you become better in tune with who it is that you want to work with, not just who you're approaching, but now also, you know, as clients approach me, I've got a better idea of if there's going to be a good fit there. And it's nice being in a position where you can choose the offers coming in, because that is really important, because otherwise what you can do is you can end up on this treadmill of accepting job after job after job. But if it's not something that really kind of inspires you or gets you going, then it's just like having a regular job. And there's been times, you know, when I started freelancing, it wasn't that much different from, you know, doing a job that I wasn't particularly passionate about. Because it was a means to an end of making an income. So you do go through that process of getting a better idea of who it is you want to work with.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about how your rates have developed. How did you figure out when you made this move into copywriting, this very conscious move into copywriting, how did you figure out how to price yourself?
A bit of trial and error, really. I never priced on an hourly rate, and I never priced based on how long it would take me, which I think is a mistake that some writers can make, and it's the fastest way to get yourself underpriced and beaten down on price. I would look at what the value was of the service I was offering to the customer, because basically your value is what someone will pay for it, and what your value is to them. So it was trial and error, and it was trial and error of working with different types of clients. And this was something that I realized early on, is that I was working with a lot of small businesses. And I loved working with small businesses. I loved their passion, and, it's a real buzz talking to people who absolutely love what they do. But 9 times out of 10, it doesn't make sense, and they don't tend to have a budget for high-end copywriter. So I was working very, very hard on projects that I didn't feel it wasn't what I wanted to earn. But it didn't make sense me just going after the same market and pushing up my prices, because people, these businesses wouldn't pay that. And it's one of the reasons why I've split the business the way that I have, in terms of offering products and resources for free or at a lower cost, because it means I can still serve that market. I can still help business owners who are on a budget but want to improve their copywriting. But in terms of working one-to-one, I wanted to work with much bigger companies, and also with if it was an individual, entrepreneurs who had a larger scope of business, because then your value increases. It really depends on who you're working for, rather than kind of the style of writing, because even though copywriting can be very lucrative, I've known copywriting jobs, if you go for certain markets, that will pay a lot less for than, say, regular freelance writing or article writing. So generally speaking, if you're working with a business to increase sales, your value will correspond to that. So for example, one of the sales pages that I wrote for a client about a couple of years ago, that earned her around £35,000, over a period of about a week. So that was a piece of writing which was very highly paid, because there was a lot of value to that.
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? It's the whole concept of pricing yourself on the value you offer, as opposed to the time it takes you or per hourly rate. That's something a lot of writers get wrong.
Yeah, and so the thing is that it's a combination of understanding who is your target market, what the value is of the service that you offer, what the value is to them, and also, what your kind of minimum rate will be, and what you need to earn as well. Because to start off with, I was just looking at, okay, what's the minimum that I need to kind of make my bills, get by, and I would take jobs. Sometimes, I'd price jobs at a little bit lower if I felt like I could get in money that month. And there's nothing wrong in doing that. But as a process of how things have evolved, I've got a better idea of the type of clients that I want to work with, and also a better idea of what the value is to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've already talked about what you've done in the past, and your qualifications in screenwriting kind of helped you as a copywriter. With that in mind, I'd be interested to know what you think the most important assets for a copywriter are.
Mm-hmm. I would say one of the big ones is persistence. Because there's a lot of people out there that want to be copywriters. But a lot of people just give up. They either decide that that's not for them, or they give up too soon. And there's a lot to be said for, if it is something that you really want to do, there's a lot to be said for hanging in there, because you're the longer you stay at it, one, the better you get. You know, the more you know, the more valuable you be, and also your reputation builds as well. So it's like having, you know, if you're willing to kind of stick at it. A lot of people who I know started copywriting when I did just haven't done it, and sometimes they don't do it anymore, and sometimes that's because they didn't want to, but sometimes it's because they felt like it just didn't work. If you want to do it, you can make a very lovely lifestyle as a copywriter. If you're willing to persist and keep at it, and also I would say to a great asset to have is to really listen to your clients. And I don't just mean, you know, listen to what they're talking about with a job, but listen, have that ear.